In the name of Jesus, amen. It used to happen often for me. I'm sitting in the theater after enjoying a good movie, and I'm caught staring at the credits as they roll through, and oftentimes I'm with my friend, and we're usually discussing the movie we just saw, and sharing our thoughts over what the story they told and the things we liked about it, the performance of the actors, the soundtrack that was used, and the way they chose to edit the film. We like to talk about films and movies, and so we enjoy that little bit right after to focus in on some of the qualities that came through as the credits roll. And oftentimes, we're so focused on it, we don't notice everybody leaving, and usually the last person's gone. When we finally receive the signal or the cue to finally leave and get up and go, because the theater staff shows up and the cleaners are there and we realize this is the signal, we got to get going. And so we pick up our things and leave, and usually the conversation will change to what's coming next. You know that experience though. Maybe not in the movie theater, maybe you don't do something like that, but certainly maybe a place like this where it's the end of service and you've been focused on the rhythm of worship and slowly making our way through the rituals and songs, and then we get to the end. And maybe your focus is left before then, but you're waiting for the signal to leave, for the cue to leave, because the worship is over, but you know you can't just immediately get up and go. You have to wait for that signal, whether it be what I say or when the piano or organ starts to play. You wait for the signal to go and carry on with the rest of your day. I would say the disciples had a similar experience. But this time, they've never gone through an ascension, so they didn't know the correct protocols or signal to move on to the next thing. It wasn't very clear to them. But it seemed they weren't ready to leave, for they were just there listening to their Lord. And Jesus was declaring to them again the promises he was going to give of the Holy Spirit to come. And you can imagine for the disciples listening intently, because even after 40 days since his resurrection, when the Son of God, the Lord of creation, has something to say and is teaching you things, you hang on to his every word. But then you can imagine as they listened that Jesus' words started to sound distant and above them. And Jesus started to rise up and ascend before them. And as he's rising, he's moving into the clouds. And the disciples are focused in, probably staring, trying to find the spot where they last saw him. But then they stare a little too long. They're waiting for a clear signal. I mean, they just saw this marvelous thing. You don't just leave something like that immediately. And you don't know when's the signal or cue to go. I mean, the kingdom of God just floated away. So you'd probably be staring too. They were pretty focused in, caught up in the moment, and they were glued to what just happened. Until two extra guys show up. It was the two extra men that showed up, and they didn't come to clean up after, but they certainly came to give the signal and the cue to move on. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? What are you doing? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, he'll come in the same way as you saw him go. It's time to move on from here. I think the immediate application that comes to mind for us is far too easy, because we could possibly look at worship and as our time in church, as this time looking and staring and focusing in on our prayer and contemplation, and that our time of fellowship is like looking into the skies, but then we're told to get back to business, to go back to regular normal life. That application is far too simple and just not true. Certainly, there's reasonable amounts of time that we ought to be spent focused here and looking and staring in awe of what God has done for us. But to think we're not engaging in the real life and the real world here, and that the real business of life is somewhere out there, that would be a wrong application of what's actually going on. I think what's going on in our text and for us is far broader and far more encompassing, because reality comes here too. And it joins us in the pews, and it weighs on us in our fellowship and conversations. No, I think what's going on here for us is our whole experience of where we put our focus and where we look, where we stare, and we need someone to give us the signal to move on from things that have passed, from trite and insignificant and inconsequential things. Because we have a tendency to look on and focus on some crisis, some marvel, some person or some event for far too long than is allowed. And sometimes we let it influence other parts of our lives. Too often you're drawn to the inconsequential areas of life that you have zero control over. You and I focus heavily and for far too long on things that are already past and no longer deserve our attention. We find ourselves maybe drawn and dwelling on an event like when a car cuts you off and you can't stop getting it out of your head, or when that person in your life sought your advice, you gave them good counsel, and yet they still decided to do the opposite of what you said. And maybe it's something like the way that person from long ago who hurt you in one way or another, and it eats away at you. We can be consumed and dwell on the events and news items that bother our own understanding of reality. But then we begin to focus on the things that are marveling, yet not altogether helpful for our daily lives. Once those things start to consume us, it becomes the only reality we see in the rest of the world. And the things that really matter begin to fall to the wayside. You see, when we focus and look at things that are just long gone or are out of our control, it brings confusion, chaos, and disorder to our experience of the rest of the world. And certainly starts to damage our own relationships with those near us, with those who are right in front of us and who matter the most. Perhaps you're like me and you look and stare like the disciples did to see where God fits in all of it. But the Lord has already rose above the clouds and the time's already passed, and we're unable to see him. Yet you're unable to move on, to focus on somewhere else, and to give your attention to what comes next. Because that thing from before, it still is holding on to your attention and consumes everything you believe. You and I need someone to give the signal, to give us the cue. And that's what the two men do for the disciples. The disciples are there at the ascension as Jesus is lifted up and disappears in the clouds, craning their necks, probably, looking and trying to find the spot where they last saw him and saw their Lord above. And the two men are sent from God to give the signal. Why are you looking into heaven? This is the end of the ascension. This Jesus is no longer there, but he'll come again in the same way. It was time for the disciples to go and to move on, and they knew it. But they didn't go confused and unsure of what was to come next. Instead, they knew what they'd been promised. They received already the instructions and the commands that were given by Jesus himself. For it was a few days later that it's on Pentecost the Holy Spirit came and rushed in, filling them with the understanding, the knowledge, and even the languages to prepare them for what they are to do next. And that's when they began to speak and declare and proclaim. And they wouldn't stop. They wouldn't be quiet about it. Because after the events of Pentecost, they moved on to declare the truth of what had occurred, of what they had seen, and the marvels they experienced in Jesus Christ's life and work to restore the creation. They told the truth of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they witnessed to the reality of what God has established and what he had made known. They didn't go back to their normal lives. They didn't go and return to the ordinary ways of living. Life had been turned upside down for them, and their reality was now encompassed by the work and life of Jesus Christ, who died, rose, and ascended. But it was not focused on where Jesus once was, but where he is today and where he will be. The point that is being drawn out of the beginning of Acts and with the ascension is not to look for Jesus in the clouds. The point for us is that we should not be consumed or drawn to trivial things that don't actually matter to the reality we experience today. For the author Luke tells us at the beginning that he wrote down and gave to his friend what was shown and revealed, what Jesus had done and taught until the day that he was taken up, and through the Holy Spirit his commands went to the apostles, and he chose to speak a witness to the kingdom of God through them, through his church. The point is we're not to continue staring up into heaven, not to stare at things that don't matter, and don't let the pains and sufferings of the past consume the reality that God has brought you in today. The point is that Jesus has shown you where he is today, where he has promised to be there for you. He promises in the water, in the bread and wine when we eat and drink. That's where he is. He's not up in the sky. But he's right here, in his church, in you, in all of you. The disciples witnessed that reality. And not only in their words, but they did it in how they lived. And it changed everything for them. Their life was consumed by the reality of Jesus Christ and what he had brought to them in the forgiveness of sins and love toward the things that do matter. You are brought into God's reality. And if you're looking for the signal to move on or to stop focusing on the trivial, confusing, and unfortunate events from the past, here is the message. Don't get caught up looking at the things that don't matter. Don't be consumed looking on too long to what is in the news or what's out of your control. Don't delve in your own self-satisfaction or efforts to put your happiness above others. There's no need to look for God in those areas of life that are confusing. For God has told you where he is. He's right here. In his church, he's right here for you, where the Spirit of God makes known his presence and reveals to you the places he's promised to be. In baptism, the Lord's Supper, in the hearing of his word, you find him right here. Don't look anywhere else. Bring those unfortunate realities of life in here with you, and let those trivial things that consume your thoughts be taken care of by the Lord, who promises to come back and renew and restore. You're able to move on, but not back to normal life, but to a new life. To witness not only in your words, but in how you live as one who's claimed by the Son of God. In his name, you've been baptized. And it's in his name that you continue to live. Let the Spirit that he sends to you and showers over you with the promises he gives continue to manifest in your daily lives. And let your focus be on matters of today, on the persons and the relationships the Lord has given you to care for. May your days not be defined by what's out of your control or already happened. Let them be engulfed by the reality that God has put you in. One is his child, and one is his beloved son or daughter. May your lives be a witness to that reality. In Jesus' name, amen.